Look, gummy.
No. I'm going to keep it. I'm playing. You said it kept me doing
it. So I'll just put it right here. There
you go.
So, we got about 4 minutes or so? Yeah. Is it slow? Is it? Okay. Well, let me, shall we sit here? You want to say something? You want me to say something? Okay. Speaking of keys, I'm going to take mine out. I'm going to give them to Mama.
And you're going to introduce the song.
Yeah. Where do I look? Over here? Or
he's watching you on that camera.
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah. Good deal.
He's in the sound booth.
Okay. Good deal. Thanks so much. I'll get him, and then we'll go. We'll wait just a couple minutes till everybody gets seated on the other side, please. Welcome to all. I'm going to start the service here with something that maybe some of you guys don't know, but my daddy, he was a singer. He sang quite a bit more earlier in his life. There's a song that my daddy used to sing to his bride, Margaret, many, many times. At least that's what Mama says. She puts another many in there as well, early on in their marriage. He used to sing this every night before they go to bed. This song is Mansion Over the Hilltop. Please listen.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that a few don't thank me for pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder we will never more wander and walk on streets that are purest gold. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander and walk on streets that are purest gold.
Thank you for listening. Mama's related to me recently that he used to sing another song too, probably many more, but another song called Old Shep. He'd sing quite often as well. Thank you, friends, family, for coming to honor and remember our friend, our brother, our father, our grandfather, our great-grandfather and husband, Howard M. Atkins, father of 8, husband of 1, grand and great-grandfather of 23 and 14, respectively, and teacher of many. My daddy's teaching was not in a formal classroom setting, but it certainly was by example, as he devoted his entire life to hard work. He taught us devotion to duty, responsibility, honesty, and loyalty. For many years, he worked 2 jobs to make ends meet. Many days, I didn't see my daddy, but I knew he was working hard for us. And during his 33-year career at Crown, he poured out countless hours of overtime. He could fix anything. As a master mechanic, he rebuilt nearly every machine there in the place. He taught his kids the value of doing a good job, doing that good job to completion, and through this, earned the respect of his peers and all of his leaders. Many of us might wonder, why now? Why at Christmas time? Why would this have to happen now? Is God in control? I believe our Lord in heaven, pardon me, is using our daddy to teach us one more lesson. In this, God's providential timing. Here we are at Christmas time. Not just that, but on Christmas Eve. And we do thank you all for coming, especially on such a naughty looking morning outside. We thank you for coming and seeing him our last time, and memorializing him as we are now. I'd like to, if I could do it in an honoring way, maybe even talk to my daddy a second. I'd ask him a question right now, because he's not here in this body. Our daddy's up in heaven, and I'll relate to that throughout the rest of this. But I'd talk to daddy, and I'd say, "Daddy, what do you think?" He'd say, "Son, family, friends, it's true. The Christmas story is true. He, Christ, is alive. I'm in heaven. All the pictures I've seen before, they pale in comparison to what I see now. I see things in a perfect sense now. This little baby named Jesus that we celebrate, he is King in heaven." Daddy's favorite Bible verse, "It was let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." That's Matthew 19:14. Dad liked this verse due to its simplicity. Daddy loved the Bible, but he frowned upon the term religion. Early on in life, Daddy had seen much hypocrisy of those who claimed to be leaders and believers in the church. I won't go into what he saw, but trust me, it was false. I just take a second to say, please, get in church get in the Word, do like my daddy understands so well now. Find a church that preaches all the books of the Bible. I'll speak a bit more on the simplicity subject in just a bit. First, let me get back to how Daddy taught us love, patience, devotion to family, and to his bride, Margaret. God's Word says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church." This man, Howard Milton Atkins, he did just that as he devoted his life to his wife. That lady being Margaret Elizabeth, previously Powell, now, of course, Atkins, of so many years. My daddy taught his children through his example to love, cherish, and honor, and keep true the vows that he gave on that May 30th day in 1953, the math will show a count of just over 61 years. That's a record worthy of high honor. Mama relates the story of this young man who, just after they had a spat, he climbed up in a pine tree. And outside her window, she heard a noise. So she went to the window and opened it up. And she heard something along the lines of this. Hey, Margaret, I'm high up in this tree. I'm out here on this bough trying to make you see. Please let me in before I fall, or I'll have to sing even more. Forgive me now. What else do I bring? Roland, you can scold me later for kind of taking liberty on a Johnny Cash song. The eyes. Some of you may, I hope you had the chance to see the video beforehand. Daddy taught us through his eyes. He taught us through the eyes, especially with relationship to his bride. The eyes that my daddy used to zero on the love of his life taught us what true love is in real form. We saw it many times through the years. Perhaps, again, you recall seeing the pictures up on the screen there of them dancing and looking into each other's eyes. And as some of us recently saw, even as he struggled in the hospital bed, when Mama showed up in the room, his eyes rifle shot right onto her. I don't care who he was talking to, he'd zero in on her. 61 years! And he still loved this lady. That's something that she'll treasure all her days. And I certainly treasure as a son. And it also teaches me as a son. Love my bride. And I do. Well, even on one of his last days, actually it was the last day, earlier in the morning, he was giving the dickens to a nurse who in his mind needed a little assertive discussion. He could do that. Well, he saw Mom come in. He stropped his dressing down at this nurse, that nurse in question, and he gazed upon Mama. And not just his eyes this time, he looked at her. And he pursed his lips, and they kissed, of course, gave a hug. Then he went back to telling this nurse how she should do her duties in proper fashion. My daddy loved love songs. He enjoyed them. And he also loved Johnny Cash. I've become a fan of his and June's in the latter years. It's neat to see how Johnny became a Christian, both he and June later in life. If you ever get a chance, go get some of the CDs. Listen to his older stuff. Great sound. Great sound. It's got some pretty bad stuff in it, but great sound. But contrast that with the sound of the new songs. He's got a host of them that talks about a big light he saw when it came into his heart, how he became a Christian. This song right now that we'd like to play is one of my daddy's favorite love songs, sung by a later in life turned Christian, Johnny and June Carter Cash. We'll listen, please.
I believe my steps are growing wearier each day. Got another journey on my mind. Lures of this old world have ceased to make me want to stay. And my one regret is leaving you behind.
But if it proves to be his will that I am first to cross, and somehow I have a feeling it will be, when it comes your time to travel, likewise don't feel lost, or I will be the first one that you'll see.
And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow water, reaching for your hand. Through this life we labor hard to earn our meager fare. It's brought us trembling hands and failing eyes.
So I'll just rest here on the shore and turn my eyes away. Until you come, then we'll see paradise.
And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting, drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow water, reaching for your hand.
Kind of neat how June Carter kind of predicted her destiny, as she did go before Johnny. And what a beautiful song. God brought our family close together in July of 2010, even closer, as we thought we might be losing our daddy due to an illness then. I can remember getting a call on July 4th. Ray, you need to come home. That being 2010. Our family, we all came together knowing it was over for him. Much like the king in 2 Kings 20 learns from the prophet Isaiah that he was going to die. God told Isaiah, go tell King Hezekiah he will lose his life. We as a family and our daddy in his extreme struggle learned by all diagnosis and indication that he also was going to die. Then God was so kind and benevolent to heal him, a true miracle. For God in his kindness granted our daddy not just recovery, but an allowance to go back to work at Riverside Pharmacy. Some of you might recall him around the town in that little teeny, big man in that little teeny car. It just was so neat. I could picture him. I saw him, you know, little eyes on the front and everything. But I tell you, work to find that man. He would have driven here today if he could have. For, of course, he probably would have delivered some medicine on the way. Oh, he wanted to do that so bad. He could also do this going back, knowing that his family was now bonded together. We got it. We dropped the anchors of just destruction in family. We came together, and we got a large family. It's kind of an indication of how God might think about what's going on down here. You know, when a daddy of eight thinks about his family not bonded together. But he was able to see it. God was so kind to bring us together. And we stayed together. What a godly provision. Many days later, I'd refer to daddy as our King Hezekiah. Why? King Hezekiah, he prayed before God. I know I'm going to die. I know that's what's going to happen. But could I have a few more years? God goes as if he could change his mind. God knew what the prayer was going to be beforehand. But he goes and tell Hezekiah, talks to Isaiah, the prophet, and says, you tell him he'll have a few more years. Much like that, our daddy got those years. And it's around this time that our daddy made his profession to Christ as his personal Savior. This brings us to the hope the hope that we can rejoice on this day. It's a funeral. How can you rejoice? We can rejoice this day because much like Paul says to the Thessalonian people, as their Christ is gone and they're all looking in the sky, they're not working like they should be, and Paul comes out and says, wake up! Wake up! Okay, here, let me explain it to you. As you look into the sky, what you're gonna, this is out of 1 Thessalonians 4:15, talks about the return of the Lord. This is how it's going to happen. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, we will not precede those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ. Why do I say it's a hopeful day on this funeral day, this memorial day? Because he holds a higher honor than I do. I know I'm going to heaven. But what's going to happen is when the archangel comes and there's a shout from heaven, the toes come through the clouds, Christ will call the dead in Christ first. How do I know that? Because his word says it. And I'll be watching. And then I will go, and all those who believe in Christ will go to be with God in the air. And that'll be the end. It'll also be the beginning of the new heavens, the new earth. That's why we can have hope today. That's what it's all about. That's what this is all about. It's Christmas, Ray. I want to talk about the baby. I do too. I do too. But we got to take the whole package. Okay? We can rejoice that our daddy, Howard Atkins, holds a higher honor than any of us. As I mentioned, as a believer, he will rise first before myself. Maybe the Lord will allow us to hold hands if I pass before the Lord comes back. If daddy could have another day, another month, or perhaps another year to get them all, he'd call all his kids and grandkids together, knowing what he now sees. And he'd say, remember back a few moments ago when I talked about the simplicity? Come to Christ as a child. You kids, grown-ups, I hope as well, might remember the story of three guys. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You remember that? Wow, a long time ago, but I remember that, you might say. Well, these three guys, King Nebuchadnezzar had told the entire kingdom, said, you will worship me. You will not worship any other, but you will worship me. These three guys and Daniel had said, no, we're not. Well, what happened to them is they were thrown into a fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar, who was watching this, he'd actually turned the fire up seven times higher. Read it, please. You'll see. And he said to his counselors, did we not cast three men into the fire? Did we cast three? He says, I see four men in there walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. As the story goes, they came out of the fire unharmed. Even the ropes on their hands were not burned. Now, why does Pop-Pop tell this story now? Because the one in the fire with the three men was Christ, incarnate with them. It's important to note why he would say this now. The same one whose birth we are celebrating at the time of my passing, my daddy would say. And I just went through an experience that would be horrifying, he says. Anything I'm telling you now, please look it up. Because I needed that same one, Jesus, to walk with me. The writer of Hebrews says in 9:27, these aren't easy words, but I didn't write them. God did. It says, man is destined to die once and after that face judgment. I was there, he would say. I died. And this was, well, again, it would have been horrifying if that same one who protected those three wasn't there to protect me. Because God's saying, you will be judged. And Christ comes over and says, Howard, don't worry about it. I got this. And God sees the precious blood of Christ allowing my daddy to walk into heaven. What a precious gift. Now, daddy loved his eight kiddos. He saw to it that we had food on the table and much more. He showed us in example form the love of a father. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. My daddy, he supported his children. I never hungered. In fact, I was pretty tubby as a kid. And he never talked derogatorily toward me about that even. He was never demeaning, but always supporting. If he could speak to us now, he'd say, Howard, my son, I still recall how you, my early riser, would be full of surprises. I'd walk into a near dark living room and see you sitting on the couch wide-eyed saying, good morning, Daddy. And, of course, I'll never forget how you gave me further surprise by filling my shoes with molasses one morning. Howard, you are my firstborn. And as first, you'll always have an extra special spot in my heart. Penny, what a joy to take you with me on those water conditioner install runs. That was Daddy's extra job. When he wasn't working, Daddy was working. When folks would ask me, who is this pretty young girl? I'd proudly say, she's my little girl, Penny. She's a beauty, isn't she? He'd say. Daddy'd probably tell you now, Penny, how your name was chosen. I'm not sure if you know. He'd say, Penny, I came in to see your mama after you were born, and your mama told me this. This is Penny. I said, Penny, I like it. The name must mean sweet servant, though, because you certainly poured out your heart to me and your mama these past years with all my ins and outs in the hospital and the needs in our home. Thank you. During Daddy's last days, he called Penny over. I want something to drink. And they were giving him this thick yuck. And what he said he wanted, and he was not a drinking man, but he said, I want a cold beer. This happens sometimes. Nurses don't like it, but Penny went out and got a cold beer. He said it was the best tasting thing he's had in his mouth in so long. Now, the nurse came in and said, what? What's this? Well, they kind of said it was apple juice. Kind of had a little joke, because if the nurse knew, my daddy doesn't like apple juice. You know, Penny also, I think they both knew, kind of, because Penny would, Penny, all this stuff was going on. Imagine the dynamic situation of my daddy over the last many, many weeks. A day turned into a week, turned into a month, and then it was a quarter. The whole last year, my daddy's been in and out of the hospital. He hasn't worked for 6 months. Yet we were trying. Our daddy taught us to have a purpose, and when you had a mission, you took care of it. Penny did. Penny would answer her phone, and then she would make calls as well. Most of them were back and forth to Tennessee to her sister Kim. And she even, daddy even mentioned this to my sister Anna and T as well about this, how I think Daddy thought that Penny was maybe getting one over on him, but he kind of told Ann and T, I know what she's doing. Kind of neat how you can kind of figure things out. My daddy was very smart, and he was able to figure those things out, but he also, he liked keeping things hidden for a little bit, just to kind of have a little bit of a joke at it as well. Linda, Daddy would say, you brought our family closer together. Thank you. The trips to Johns Hopkins to get the extra expertise and care of the specialists and doctors there for your eyes allowed us to get some real good talk in and bonding time as we drove back and forth. We even got to find the favorite restaurant, which is just recently closed, that being Holly's. Your brothers and sisters, Daddy would say, I think especially favored the donuts you brought back. Okay, that's me paraphrasing. I like the donuts. I thought I was a little tubby. Okay, and Linda, the rocking you did in the back seat put you in good rival and competition with your sister Penny, who did the same on every couch in the living room all the time. Sweet memories both. And usually it was with a na 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 na. The singing went on and on. It was nice. Kim, my little girl, who has and pours out the most love, care, and emotion that a child could ever express. Of course you would go into nursing. God gave you a special bent towards serving others and caring in the realm that many times proves thankless. Honey, thank you for all the many calls back and forth to make sure my care was the very best that Salisbury could. Well, put it this way, they better, or they're going to suffer the wrath all the way from Tennessee that they could provide. Anna, thank you for sharing a common bond in reading. You know how I always enjoyed escaping away in a good book, sometimes not able to get enough while desiring more of the wisdom within. With great joy, I'd watch you diving into the pages as you opened your world to knowledge of things beyond reach otherwise. I'm so proud of you for furthering your education to the graduate level beyond college. You've taken your master's degree to far heights while teaching others the joy and the life of the world of reading. You learn to work beyond and never be scared of hard work and building character while making positive change in this needy world.
Hunter.
You were a smart one. Daddy knew you had brains. You were destined for college. We knew it early on. This is Daddy talking. You went and did very well. You proved to learn early on what I was trying to teach on devotion and duty. I'm so proud of you. You never missed a day of school. Perfect attendance. How many dads can say my son had perfect attendance? Well, you might have one saying, sure, he did it in the fifth grade. Another might be saying, yeah, he did it in the fifth and sixth grade. But the entire grade school career, it's unparalleled. Thank you for giving me another excuse to praise my kids to the guys at Crown by saying, Hunter never missed a day of school. He'd usually say it like this. Somebody didn't listen to him. You know? You hear me? I know. I've seen that, the end of that finger. I could describe its molecules. Right here. And he would also say your brother Ray knows it too, because he heard it. Sean, you also learned well the lesson and value of selfless, hard work to provide for your family. And you've learned a priceless value of having a good name. You were the first and only child I was able to see born. See, in prior times, men weren't allowed in. Yeah, the old black and white movies are true, where men would, ladies would go back to have babies, and men were not allowed in. I don't know that they, I don't know what was going on then. That was probably one of the, hopefully men will understand, that was a good barrier to be breached. Because he saw you born. He saw you. He would say, I saw you born. I heard your first cry. I always held a bond that sometimes only a last child can hold with a daddy. You were my favorite M&M, the last one, and I wasn't going to let you go. Thank you for all the help you brought to your mama and me all these years. During our last days, daddy's last days, I would say that, you know, it was neat for him to see all the folks coming together. He got to see it. He'd say, sons and daughters, I know you'll miss me. But listen carefully as I now speak on what I'm seeing now. Daddy would say now to all the friends and family, just like David in Psalm 66:16 says, come all ye who have ears and listen to what the Lord has done for me. He'd say, God's word says very simply, Romans 10:9, please listen carefully to this. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Do you want to go to heaven? Let's work it backwards. Do you want to go to heaven? Yes. Will you go to heaven on your works? No. Will you go to heaven in one way? Yes. How do you go? You go by being saved. How am I saved? I declare with my mouth that Christ is Lord. And he rose from the dead. And you shall be saved. I know there's a whole bunch of folks that add a whole bunch to that. And you got to live a good life. But the good life is really, you'll live a good life because you are saved. Please know the simplicity. Again, Daddy's trying to help us understand the simplicity. Come to me as a child. Don't over read or write this. He said, I said earlier that my favorite verse speaks about coming to Christ as a child. I speak to each one of you, especially my children and my grandchildren. Yes, God's word has 66 books. You can count them. And every word is important. Please remember these. Write them down, look them up, he'd say. Christ's commandments, when he's asked, what's the most important commandment? What does Christ say? Christ says, first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. What's that mean? Does that mean, Okay, I'm going to give you the other one too. The second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Does that mean we got two commandments? What happened to the ten? Christ summarizes the ten. In the first one, he summarizes four. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. He says, you will have no graven images. You will not take the Lord's name in vain. You'll remember the Sabbath day. That's the first one. Okay, first one. Notice four summarized. When he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one, when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. There's six of them in there. Honor your father and mother. Remember that, kids. Honor your father and mother. And that's till our dying day. I hope and pray that I'm honoring my daddy today. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That means don't lie. And thou shalt not covet. Don't want something so bad that you're willing to do anything or deviously go for it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Six of them summarized there. And Daddy would say, please listen again, folks. It's Christmas time. Won't you please hear what this young baby grew up to say? That there's no commandment greater than these. Please remember the simplicity and free gift of Christ. He or she who declares with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, ye shall be saved. Okay, just a couple more minutes here. If I could beg just the final few minutes of your time, I'd take you back to two Sundays ago in the PGH ICU. I spoke with my daddy. This being Ray again to his dad. I told my living daddy how indebted I was to him for his service to his family and his support of everything I did in my life. It didn't matter if I was playing football or embroidering a pillow. It didn't matter if I was out working on the car or making a 7-layer cake. My daddy supported me. He didn't come in and say, you know, what are you doing there, you mushmella? He ate my cake and said, this is good. I told him how totally grateful I was to God for allowing me to work hand-in-hand with my daddy at Crown Court Conceal and had the honor of working with him as an apprentice mechanic for 6 months before I went to the United States Air Force. I hold that so dear in my heart. I wanted to be like my daddy. I couldn't be tall like him, but I wanted to get my hair like him. I wanted to smell like him. I wanted to walk like him. I wanted to talk like him. I didn't know he sang so much. I probably would have sung like him. He supported me going away in the Air Force. At the time of our life, I think he was having fun together. I think he liked me getting greasy in the mornings. He liked the fact that we worked. And most of all, Daddy, I told him that I bless God in heaven for allowing me to talk to my dear Daddy in person and see his eyes and kiss his warm forehead. And that knowing that he was a Christian man, that when it's my turn to go, to be called home to the Lord. When I enter heaven's courts and I'm welcomed by Christ. If I can say, can I go in? He's going to say, yeah. As soon as I get through, I can say, Daddy! And he's going to say, come on over, son. Come on over. Let me show you around the joint. Let me show you this place. And I said, Daddy, it's going to be so good so I don't have to go, have you seen my daddy? Have you seen my daddy? Have you seen him? You're going to be there. And I bless God for that. Daddy, I will see you soon, Daddy, but not yet. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, that you will be glorified through this day. Lord, we know that you providentially brought the rain. You providentially have it so that my daddy is here laying before us. You providentially know the number of hairs on his head, and you knew the day of his last breath. You know ours as well. I pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to care for my daddy. I know it's in a perfect way. We would not even will him back, Lord, because he's in a perfect way. He sees it all. This is an imperfect earth. Even me, the sinner that's talked before folks now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would right any wrong word. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me for my sins. I pray, Lord, that you would put a blanket of forgiveness over this whole place. For we know that what is fair is hell for the likes of me. What is unfair is what Christ went through. May we remember this time, Lord, as this baby is born, may we remember the sinless life and also remember he hung on a cross to save us from sins. That's what our daddy is trying to teach us now, Lord. I thank you for the life you've given all of us here. You've touched everyone here. If I could pray for everyone here, we'd say that Howard, Milton, Atkins touched our lives. And we bless God and thank you for this. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. We will have, following this, at the Fruitland Volunteer Fire Department, a reception. And that will be as soon as folks head on over there. Thank you so much for your time. God bless.
Just one additional announcement that the committal service will be on Friday at 11 o'clock at the Allen Cemetery, in case you want to attend that. On behalf of the family, thank you folks again for coming today and taking time out of your schedule. They really appreciate it. At this time, you are free to leave. Thank you.